Dr. Rita Marie, this is Beverly.
Hi, Beverly.
Can you share how you where you buy the machine to make more hours in the day?
The machine to make more hours in the day? I haven't found it yet. I'm looking for one.
It was me that said, "Did you edit Saturday?" I mean, I just don't know how you accomplish everything you do.
Oh, I don't sleep enough. I don't sleep enough. Although last night I went to bed at 11:15 and I got up at 7:30 this morning. So that was pretty cool.
The TARDIS. Doctor Who, he has discovered, yes, the time machine called
the TARDIS.
That's right. That's right.
Cool. Robin, did you have a question? You had your hand up.
Yeah, so. I do, and actually I think it's sort of related to the time machine question. I am curious. I would like any tips you have about how to efficiently do nutrition research and, you know, what are your favorite sources?
Great question. Great question. Somebody still has their line open, so turn it off. And I want to try to keep the there we go. I want to make sure that I can still see the questions coming in for those of who aren't on there. Okay. So where do I do nutrition research? Somebody still has it on. Can you check to see? Make sure you turn your sound off on your computer and just listen on the phone.
Good. Mine's
That's
only
better.
On the phone.
That's better. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so as far as the nutrition research, you can always just, first of all, going to Google and doing Google Scholar will get you into the medical stuff. But I usually start by just doing Google and just seeing what popular stuff is coming out. And some of the stuff is really good. It's on good, reputable sites, and they'll have references into the literature, so it shortcuts me into getting into the medical literature. And then I'll go to the Google Scholar, which will search journals. It'll search the National Library of Medicine. You know how to do that, right, Medline? NLM?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, but I don't find that to be as expedient because there's just a lot of stuff. So what I find is I like to take advantage of other people's time and research. So I find stuff like just popular articles on the web, and the good ones will have references. There's some websites that really have good references, and I'll go there and I'll see what their references are, and then I go to their references and I'll read through their references. So that's basically how I do it. There's no shortcut. I love doing it, and I'll spend, you know, I'd like to do this paper that I'm writing for you guys. I mean, it's taken hours of pulling out references and seeing what was good and what was not, and then formulating them. There's no shortcut. And
well,
the other thing
I thought
is
I'd
find
ask.
Somebody you trust.
And then you just listen. The thing that I find is when you go down sort of following the daisy chain, like you're talking about, it's amazing to me how I find stuff that I wasn't looking for, but it is highly relevant and so forth. But like you said, it's just amazingly time-consuming.
It's time-consuming. Yeah. One of the things you can do to shortcut, you can create a parking lot folder. So when you're going down the daisy chain and you find stuff that's not necessarily exactly what you're looking for now, but you want to look at it later, I just open up Word file and I'll just dump stuff in, or I'll save bunches of stuff to Word files in a particular folder, a research folder, and then you can go back to it. Oh, IGF-1 information. Good. Pull it there. Oh, Dr. Mercola's, you know, vitamin D compendium. I'll put that there. And then I have that to go back to. And then when I'm doing my research on those topics, I always go to my folders first to see if I have anything saved.
Got it.
Okay, but yeah, I'm not the most organized person in the world, so I wish.
We wouldn't know it from your accomplishment.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're obviously way ahead of me.
And me.
There you go. Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I work hard at it.
I can
and
tell.
It doesn't come naturally. I wish it did.
I work hard. I just can't figure out how to master it as you have. That's what you need to write a paper on, how to get as good as you. If I could get as good as you, I'd be so thrilled.
So here's what I will tell you. I will tell you that 26 years of really paying attention to my diet, I mean, really taking every bit of processed anything out of it,
yep,
and eating lots and lots of greens. You know, when I look at people's diet diaries and I say, that's how much greens you ate? And when I say, I want you to eat between a pound and 2 pounds a day of greens, and they just like, huh? I can't do that. That's too much. I do that all the time. I've been doing that for 26 years. So that's part of it. Keeping an attitude, that's improved over the last few years and made me much more efficient by really just seeing, wow, I can do this. I am competent. It's not like my mom said that I'm not good at anything. I really am good at things. And keep it going and not allowing the stress stuff to take you down. And when it does, to stop and go back to it and say, okay, what could I have done differently in that situation so that the next situation that comes up. I didn't like the way I handled, I don't know how many people read my newsletter yesterday, but I woke up late. My alarm clock didn't go off. I got up. I was frustrated. I was really, the whole thing. I talked to the teacher. She just pissed me off because she was being so rude and inconsiderate and the whole time. And then I came back and I breathed on it and I started to write. And I said, how could I have done that differently? How could I have handled that differently? And I did. And I wrote to the teacher and he ended up being able to take his test at noon. And I realized what could I have done differently would have been coming to her, not from a place of, oh, I'm desperate, do this for me, you have to do this for me, I'm stressed, but from a place of, like, okay, I need help, and I really appreciate you. And so it's really a big thing. I've not always been like this. I've not always been as well organized. I would still say my organization can go a long way, but it's come over time and over diligence and really just seeing my vision of a healthy world, of stopping the suffering, of just all the rewards and how rewarding it is to hear somebody say, wow, you know, I've been trying for 5 years to drop weight, and now I'm 23 pounds lighter, and thank you. And thank you, and I realize that I'm preventing all kinds of disease or I'm reversing my whatever. It's just so rewarding, and you have that in your hands when you work with people. So just always keep in mind the positive intent and you, the value. And like I've been talking to certain people like offline and saying, you know, don't discount the good things you're doing. We tend to like to be humble, right? Because mom and the church and the teachers all told us we had to be humble. And when you do humble, you discount a lot of the good you're doing. I'm doing this, and this is how much more I'm working towards doing. Not, well, I'm not doing all that much. I'm getting a little bit of results. I'm not doing enough. Don't give your brain that. Give your brain, I'm doing as much as I can right now, and I'm open to learning how I can do more. So the attitude is big. The exercise, my dedication to exercise, if I go more than a couple of days without exercising, I just feel crazy. And I've always been dedicated to it. Probably a little less so since I've been doing the B4 Be Gone program, I will tell you, because I've been so busy, but I make time for it, and I love it. So that's a piece of it. And just being completely committed to the outcome, and you can do it. You can. You just have to, it clears the cobwebs. I had so many cobwebs in my brain years ago. It just really clears the cobwebs. It really does. So, and those are just some tips. Any other questions? You can raise your hand, or you can just say it. And if you're on here and you have a Guylaine, to everyone, are you leaving, Guylaine, or are you coming on and joining us? Guylaine, you're here. Yay. Great. Can you say hello? I don't think you've introduced yourself yet. Let me just make sure that you're not
open. Marie?
Hello? Guylaine?
Okay.
Is that how you say your name?
Guylaine.
Guylaine?
Guylaine.
Guylaine. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Guylaine. Okay.
Is that French?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Well, welcome. Tell us a little bit about you. This is the first time we've heard your voice online. So
yeah, finally, I'm talking to you. I'm very, very happy and glad about the program and what I'm learning with you. And I think you are amazing.
Thank you.
And I like, everything. So I've been testing, and one thing about the testing here, it's like very, very expensive. Like $88 for 100 strips. So I don't know what I'm going to do because I want to do a lot more testing. So I will need to find a way that it's less expensive because that's a bit too much right now here in Canada.
I wonder. Oh, you're in Canada. Okay. I wonder.
Canada.
Doesn't somebody turn off the mic? Turn off the web. Turn off the web. Otherwise, I have to shut everybody's lines down. Okay, I'm gonna turn the lines off and just see. I'll turn them off one by one. Sorry about that. I just want to make sure I can. Nope, it's not Robin. Oh, is that you're on local?
Not Beverly. It's quiet here.
Darlene.
So.
Okay, it was Darlene's line. I just turned Darlene's off. Pretty sure it was Darlene's. It sounds much quieter now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Darlene, if you have anything to add, just please just put up your hand and we'll get to you. Okay, so you're going to have to help me. I want to say Guilin.
Guilin.
That's Guilin. Okay. I'm used Guilin. To it.
I'm sure. It's challenging. Anyway, Amazon. Doesn't Amazon ship up
Amazon
there?
Doesn't ship to Canada.
Do you have any friends that live in the
in
state
the, in
that
the state?
Can purchase it from Amazon and ship a box up to you?
No. Mm-hmm. Actually, no. Maybe
well,
somebody
go ahead.
From the group may we can contact me, and if they want to ship to me, I can then send them a money order or something.
Yeah, if anybody's willing to do that, contact Guilin and let her know. And if you go back to the website where there was a for Yvette started a please post your phone number, contact number, email address, post yours up there and put that request up there if anybody's willing to do that. I've been looking into, haven't had the time to really pursue it further. I found the manufacturer, and I got on their website, and I went into their wholesale thing, and I wrote, and nobody responded. So I'm going to give that to one of my team members to follow up with and see if we can contact the manufacturer and see if I can get them in very large quantities. And then be able to resell, distribute to everyone on the program.
Yes, that would be great.
That
because
be good.
If I am coaching people, and then they will find that too expensive also. So
that's
they
right.
won't be able to test. They will say, wow, I don't have all that money to test.
I think that's
so.
Pretty important then. I'm going to make a note to myself. Where did my note
Okay.
Show? Yeah, I'll make a note to myself because I would like to see that. I mean, my goal for the future for the Before Be Gone program is to just really include it in the program, is to
mm-hmm.
include some strips and the meters so that people don't have that limitation of doing it. And you may think about that as well, if you guys can figure that out, is to, if you're working with somebody, actually just give them the meter. I did that with one of my people here. She signed up for a six-month program, and I just gave her a meter. I went, bought an extra one, and I gave her the meter and some strips. So it wasn't a hesitation, an obstacle to them getting started.
Okay. And I have a few questions for you.
Yes.
But can we do that on a toe instead of a finger?
It is more painful.
I don't know. It might be painful, but
because
I don't
my
know.
Fingers are sore, and I need them to do some chores, and sometimes it's painful.
How about icing them first? Would that help? Just to numb
what?
Your finger.
Well, one thing you can do is use the side. Don't use the pad. Are you doing it on the pad of your finger or off to the side?
On the pad.
Okay. Move to the side. That's much less painful. So
on the side? Okay.
The side. So between, it's best between, in the distal part, right between the last joint and the nail, but off to the side. So just off to the side of the, that's much better. And that's less painful. And you don't use that part of your finger as much because the tips of your fingers touch everything, especially if you play piano or the guitar. Or,
Okay.
Try that would be helpful. I'm not sure about the toes. I'd have to look into that. I don't know why not, but
isn't the blood the same everywhere?
But the blood is, but it's the disc, the smaller versus the larger, and the I don't know.
There's
some reason why it's better to do the fingers than the forearm. And
okay.
My meter came with a forearm attachment.
Oh, then that would work.
If you wanted to do that.
Somebody said that hurt more, though, that they tried that and it hurt more.
Really?
So, I don't know. I haven't tried the forearm. It's just I'm so used to the fingers, I just do it.
Yeah, my pain subsides so quickly that with, like, and it doesn't even always hurt. Sometimes I'm not sure I got it, and then I just squeeze my finger and the blood appears. But I have found that it subsides so quickly that I don't even cringe or think about it anymore. I just get the thing out. I kind of trick myself. I'm kind of you know, I cock it and make it ready to go, and then I just hit the button, and it really quickly does it, and it really subsides quickly. And you might think about which fingers you use most and use one that you think you don't use as much.
Right. That's
and,
a good
point. The more you do it, the less you'll feel it. Really,
yeah, it's really true. People, I had one person who was just like the first 2 days, she just kept writing me, "Oh my God, it hurts so much. Oh my God, it hurts so much. Are you sure I should be doing this?" And then I said, "Well, cut back for a little while." And next thing you know, she was like, "Oh, I got used to it, and now I'm doing it, you know, more frequently." So it really does. But if the pinky, I would say that the pinky and the ring finger are less used in manipulation of things. So you may try, you know, you've got four of those and move to the sides and allow the other ones to settle down a little bit. But you'll get used to it.
Okay. I want to talk about something also about my blood sugar.
Sure.
It's quite high. It is in the 90s.
When you first wake up?
Yes.
So that's, you're converting it from the Canada scale?
Yes, I have to multiply by 18.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So it's in the 90s, and I'm surprised, but maybe I have a lot of stress too. So that might be it. But I don't have the symptoms like I have full of energy all day.
Good.
Don't have craving, nothing like that. I have been eating raw food for many, many, many years. I just eat 3 fruit a day. The rest is nuts, avocado, sprout. And still, I have this high blood sugar.
Okay, in the morning, but what happens after your meal? And what happens right before you go to bed? And I'm going to turn down some of the lines because there's still some clicking in the background. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so what's your blood sugar right before you get up in the morning?
Oh, I have some big jump after a fruit meal in the morning. I was so surprised. More than 30 points.
So it went up into the 120s or so, or 130?
Yeah, more.
Okay.
I said, is that machine right?
Okay. And that was a fruit meal. When you say a fruit meal, you mean just fruit. Okay, I'm going to turn off all of these now.
Fruit and greens. It was a mango. Mango, three kiwi, and celery.
Was it in a smoothie that you made?
No. I tried a smoothie, and I ate it very slowly, like 13 minutes. not too much of a jump. And then the next day, I tried the mango, 3 kiwis, 2 celery, 8, and lettuce, and it jumped a lot. I said, what is that?
It's that you're having a little bit of a problem there, and it could be stress, it could be sleep, and you need to stay away from those things while you work the program. And it will come back. I couldn't do mangoes when I first started testing. It would shoot my sugars way up. Now I can do them as long as I do it with it's like a huge thing of lettuce with a mango on it. So it's not a huge amount of mango in proportion like I used to just sit down and eat 2 mangoes. Can't do that anymore. Sugar goes up.
So what about the green smoothies that everybody is on it? You know, 3-4 fruit and greens. So that's not necessarily a good thing.
Not for everyone. And it depends on the fruits and it depends on the proportion. And as people went through the program, they were finding that at the beginning they couldn't do even blueberries and apple because their sugars went up to 135, 140. And then they did the program. They stayed away from it. They took the supplements. They did the burst training. They did their heart math and, you know, just really incorporated the program. And by the end of 30 days, they went back and did that same smoothie, and it was fine. So it depends on the proportion. A lot of people have been taught to make smoothies that are a whole bunch of fruit and then a couple of handfuls of greens. That doesn't work for most people. For some people, it might be fine if they're totally balanced. But that doesn't work. It's too much. Even in Victoria Vitenko's book, Green for Life, she said you want to go minimal 40% green, 60% fruit. But as you get used to it, you want to go more to 60% green, 40% fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sugar. I've taken people through green smoothie cleanses, and one time I had this guy on whose sugars were 220 when he started. He's diabetic, and he was doing the smoothies, and he was doing the ones with fruit in it, and he got his sugars down to 120. Why? Because I guess that was better than what he was eating before, right?
Yes.
But for some people, it's fine. My friend Karen will make a smoothie. I mean, she could sit down and eat 3 dates and test her blood sugar, and it goes up by 5 points. 10
wow.
The most. She's completely, totally imbalanced. Mm. And it's great. Not everybody's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's like that. She just happens to be. If you have a family history of diabetes or heart disease or insulin resistance or undiagnosed insulin resistance, but you look around your family and you see the belly's bigger than the hips and some of the signs, mm-hmm. you know that that's an issue in your family. And
yeah, I think that's the stress. I think so.
Stress? Okay, so are
yeah,
you
I doing? Need to look at that.
Yes, you look at that. Have you started to do any of the activities?
For the stress, a little.
Okay.
I don't know. I can do a lot more.
Do a lot more?
Well, I do work out every day. I do run uphill.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, not every day, four times a week, and I'm active. I have lots of energy.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So nip this problem in the bud, because it's not a problem now. Same with me. When I tested mine, I was shocked. I have no belly fat. I'm athletic. I exercise all the time. I'm in my
I'm almost like
I'm
you.
Not, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a problem. I had to address it. Wasn't showing it back outside yet, but. It's just a matter of time, and that's where we want to help people to catch it. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds great.
If you have 90s in your blood sugar, your fasting blood sugar, the incidence of heart disease in people with the 90s as a fasting versus the 80s is just like 20 times higher. I mean, it's way higher.
Yeah, it's too high.
It's too high. So what Virginia, who was on the program the other night, she talked about it on the call the other night, if you want to listen to the Stepping Into Your Future call from the Before Be Gone program, she brought that same thing up. I don't understand it. My blood sugar is 103 in the morning. Why is it 103 in the morning? I've cut this out. I'm doing this. Why is this happening? So I asked her about the burst training, and I said, just start doing about an hour before you go to bed. Do a 2-minute burst exercise. She goes, oh, I have a treadmill. I'll do 10 minutes. I said, whatever, but 2 minutes is minimum. You know, so don't tell yourself you have to do 10 and then you don't have time and you don't do any. Do 2 minutes. The next morning, her blood sugar was 87, and it was 90 at night. And then over the 3 days, now it's consistent. She wrote to me this morning, it's consistent. It's 80
something. Yeah, I'm going to try more of what you say.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dr.
Rita
Marie.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to open up lines. I had to shut the lines because there was noise on the lines. So I'm going to open them up. I'll open up Beatrice. Oh, there you are, Beatrice. Hi.
Hi. Dr. Rita Marie, I have several questions, so I'll start with the easy one first.
Okay.
We have 1.5 scoops of protein powder in the morning and then have nuts or avocado at lunch, and the same for dinner. Is that enough protein during the day? I mean, aside from the greens and everything?
Plus you're doing all the greens, it should be.
Mm-hmm. If I'm doing all the greens, it should be okay.
Yeah. It's when you're not doing a lot of greens and you're doing that you just have to rely on that. But when you are doing a lot of greens, I calculated a pound of kale is 13 grams of protein. I haven't looked it up for broccoli yet to see what that is, but I know broccoli is high in protein. So you
all
need
right.
a lot of it if you're eating a lot of it. But if you're eating the standard American doses of it,
then it's not enough.
Right.
Yeah, I understand. I wanted to make a quick comment on the doing the mini burst.
Mm-hmm.
I have been known to go into a public bathroom at a restaurant and stand in the toilet and do a quick 30-second mini burst. And when I'm with my grandchildren, I tell them I'm running around the world, and I run so fast in place that I'm gone and then I'm back again. So now I've got the 2 little kids, 3 and 6 years old, running around the world with me.
Oh, you're so creative. That's wonderful.
But this is my question, Dr. Rita Marie. I've been quite sort of this week because I've been sick. And And my blood sugar has been high. Yeah, in the mornings when I wake up, 102 and 103. Mm-hmm. Is that normal?
Yeah, it's a stress on your system.
That's it. I haven't been eating very much. I haven't had anything today. I'm not hungry. And
yeah,
today I feel much better.
Did you do a fast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go down?
No. As a matter of fact, I finally went out walking because I thought I felt better. At 6 o'clock when I came back, I went out at 5:30. It went up to 126. I had tested at 12 and it was still 102. So I went out again, and I came back very tired. It was 131, and then I said, I'm just going to sit down and rest.
Yeah.
And at 7, it was 87.
Okay.
So it finally went down.
Yeah, your body was burning, especially because you hadn't eaten, so you didn't have any available fuel in the blood. So you were letting go of some stores, whether it probably fat stores, or it could have been muscle stores, but you were letting go of some stores. In your liver, and you were letting go of some stores, but it got too high, and your insulin resistance.
I haven't tested except in the morning this week. I've stayed at home because I have to be close to the bathroom because I either have the runs or I'm constipated.
Mm.
But let me tell you how I know, and this might help someone else. When this body needs to rest, because I have taught mindfulness meditation for so many years, about 20, and that is focusing on your breath, I can tell by how I breathe whether I'm sick or not.
Mm.
Because I breathe differently. The body breathes. In fact, when the body is sick, this body is sick, I cannot get a full breath in. It's almost like as if there were a systemic swelling.
Yeah.
I just cannot get a full breath into, and that's how I know that there's something going on, and not just plain tired. And I've been breathing like that this week, so there was some sort of an infection or something. I guess I don't know. I did not go to the doctor because I was feeling too miserable and I was afraid to go away from the bathroom.
Yeah. So if you've got the alternating constipation, diarrhea, something's aggravating in your gut, and not eating is a good thing.
It's a good thing. My husband came home and said that he had heard that several people said there was a bug going around with the same symptoms I have around the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have been it. But anyway, I'm on the way out. I feel a little bit better today. But no, I was not hungry. And usually, even if I'm sick, I eat. Maybe it's all been psychological or emotional eating.
Yeah.
I haven't been hungry lately, which is very good.
Okay, good. Yeah, you've made some shifts there. What I would recommend for all of us is let's pick a date, and then we're all going to do one of those intermittent fast days, whether it's 36 hours the way Robin suggested, or even 18 hours, meaning just skipping two meals, or the full 24 hours. And, I would propose that we do that maybe sometime between now and next week's call. So we get a feel for what it's like, and you can ask me questions. And just monitor your blood sugar throughout. I just monitored my blood sugar because I haven't eaten anything since my smoothie, and it's down to 67. Now, it won't drop below that, and it'll probably be up a little higher in a short while as my glucagon kicks in. But and I don't feel woozy or lightheaded or inability to focus. I feel fine. So just, letting go of some food and doing those intermittent fasts can be really helpful for you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie.
Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, so those two lines are quiet. I'm going to leave them open. Yvette has her hand up, and let's see if you have the noise in the background. That's good so far. All right, Yvette, hi. Oops, is she not open? Maybe she's muted on her end. Yvette, I've opened your line up, so leave it open. Oh, Darlene asked a good question. If you're concerned about weak adrenals, should you do a fast? I would say you could do a fast, but just a short one. I wouldn't do more than 24 hours. That's not going to hurt you. It's extended fasting that's stressful for the adrenals. But check it and see how you feel. Okay, so people are reminding me that you can't hear people on the web. Robin had to leave. You can't hear them on the web, and I need to put you on speaker for you to hear them on the web. I'm still trying to work that out, and I have an appointment with the people at this conference service to figure out how they can tie into the phone call. So I'll put people on speakerphone so you can hear them. It'll be a little bit muffled and muted, but you'll still hear them. Yvette, your line is open if you want to ask a question. Anybody else? Let me see. I'm going to open up lines one by one. Darlene's with Noisy. Oh, Yvette's on twice. Oh, did you give your number to somebody? Yvette's on twice. That's funny. Okay. This event.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yes, I lost my web-based connection and signed in again. So evidently the first connection, you know, didn't fully get dropped through the browser. So that's probably why I'm showing up twice.
That's why you're showing up twice. Okay.
At the moment.
That's the one I opened. It was the first one. And I'm like, she's not
right.
There. She's not there.
Right.
Okay, good. Yay.
Yeah. Darlene initiated a thread of questioning about oceans alive marine phytoplankton. Or was it Zeta as well? And wondering whether or not the phytoplankton actually does contain EPA and DHA, and then whether or not it contains iodine. And in fact, it does.
Oh, did you just
it
that
is
up?
A true. I did. Part of it on Dr. Mercola's website, and then research on foods that are high in iodine. And marine algae, seaweeds, and microscopic phytoplankton can uptake iodine and are thought to play an important role in the biochemistry of iodine, or biogeochemistry of iodine. And then there's an article, The Natural Benefits of Marine Phytoplankton, and it confirms not only do the algae and plankton contain high levels of antioxidants and anti-inflammatory substances, the phytoplankton in particular is very high in iodine. So, like, wow. So whoever brought our attention to the oceans alive marine phytoplankton, I think this is, like, you know, in the list of the top three supplements you should be taking.
Yeah, and but know that if it's that high in iodine, know what you're taking and don't overdo it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Precisely. But that would be a good thing to balance the cruciferous vegetables.
Right. It would be great
as
if
opposed
you dropped to that in your thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What's a good ratio to get the sea greens to the cruciferous?
Oh, I wouldn't even begin to come up with a ratio because it's such a small. Sea vegetables are so concentrated that you eat them in very small amounts. So if you're taking, in general, 1.5 to 2 ounces a week of sea vegetables versus a pound or more a day of cruciferous.
That's enough. Wow.
Yeah, that's all you need. And you don't want to get too much because you can overdose on some of those minerals. So, yeah.
What would be symptoms of that?
If people with Hashimoto's, if you get too much iodine, it can flare up the Hashimoto's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So it's just, you know, it's kind of in the way that it comes in nature, it's just naturally you wouldn't eat a lot of it. So if you take sea vegetables and you soak them, you have the whole sea vegetables and you soak them and you make seaweed salads, you know, there's just so much you can take of it. You don't eat as much as you would something else, right? It's just like, okay, I've had enough. I mean, they're good, but although one day I almost ate a pound of Dilts because it was so good, but
pound
it's
of
unusual. It's unusual. I usually don't eat quite that much. But they're kind of self-limiting.
Pound of what?
Dulce.
Oh, yum. I love that soft, fresh dulce.
Yeah, it was really fresh.
Got
it from Maine Coast Sea Vegetables. And
yes.
And dropped it by, and she said, oh, my God, this was so good. I almost ate a whole pound of it at home. I said, Karen, that's a lot of dulce. says so. She said, here, try it. And I just opened up the bag, and I kept it at my desk, and I kept finding myself just reaching and eating. And I looked at the bottom like, oh, my God, I ate almost a pound of dope.
Brown isn't as rich in iodine as green.
No, it's not.
So.
No, it's not. But kelp is super high in it.
Yeah, but that's like potato chips, that soft dulse. Oh.
Yeah, it's really good. And you know what's even better? You can eat a lot more of it this way. You soak it, and then you strain it off, and then you add a little tiny bit of sesame oil or olive oil, and then a bunch of seasonings, whatever you like. I love cayenne and chipotle and garlic and all, and I just did that, and then I put it in the dehydrator.
Oh.
And it made these little crispy dulse pieces that were just amazing.
And that kept you from eating too much? I don't think that would make it worse.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that sounds
it was
fun.
So good. It didn't keep me from eating too much. It made me eat more than I should have.
That's what I said.
It's really good for people who you're trying to get there.
Oh, for enticing, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I love it with kale.
Yeah, it's good that way, too. Looks like Darlene has a question. Go ahead, Darlene.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to say that I don't think the noise was coming from my... And I'm not sure why, but my home is like super duper quiet. No one's here. I wasn't moving or anything, so I don't think it was me.
I'm sorry, I turned you off because I went through just from the bottom up, and I turned them off, and it seemed to stop then. But maybe it was the one right
before. It did. I heard it stop too, so I didn't blame you. I totally agreed with you. I mean, I heard it stop too, but I know it wasn't me because everything was very, very quiet here.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had a question about the iodine.
Yes.
I have been taking an iodine supplement. It's called Iodorol.
Huh?
And I had a doctor who recommended it for, I'm hypothyroid. And she had me on this supplement for almost like 2 years, and all of a sudden it just made me like almost violently ill whenever I took it, only it took me a while to figure out that it was the iodine or the Iodorol. It took me a while to figure it out, but when I did, I just stopped taking it, and I've been kind of scared to take anything at all with iodine because of it was just seriously a violent reaction to it. I mean, I would be so sick. I can't even tell you the suffering. But anyway, so my question is there anything as far as like green powders or any of those foods that seem to have iodine? Is there like a substitute that I could take that would still be a green powder but it wouldn't have iodine?
Oh, yeah. You know, the ones that don't, like wheatgrass juice powder, barley grass juice powder, spirulina, chlorella, they don't have as much iodine. They may have a little bit, spirulina, chlorella, because they come from the sea, but they don't seem to have as much iodine as the microalgae don't seem to have as much as the macroalgae, although it's phytoplankton. And you probably overloaded on it. How long has it been since that happened?
Almost a year.
Okay. So you might have reached the threshold and it was too much, and it might be just fine now to have a little bit in there. Like, you might experiment with some of those green powders and just see.
Okay, okay.
But alternate them. I wouldn't do it all the time. Alternate that with the wheatgrass and with the barley grass and the ones that aren't going to have that. You can even get kale sprout powder. There's a company called Sproutine. And you can get broccoli sprout powder. And that was from... what was the name of that company? Z Natural Foods. So those would be really good as well.
Okay. Okay, great. Because I guess I'm really hopeful, too, because I was worried that I had, like, an allergy to it. But what you're saying is I could have overloaded,
mm-hmm.
and if I went back now and tried it, then I would be most likely it could be fine.
Right. And there's a test. There's a new test came out just over the last 6 months to a year. It's an iodine test, and I think it's the canaryclub.com. Look up their iodine test. And I would recommend you get it, you know, before you start playing around with it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, bye. I'm going to leave your line open since it's nice and quiet.
Thank you.
I'm going to open up Bayari. Hi, Bayari.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Hey, do you have any questions? I can hear you just fine.
Yes, I do. Okay.
Well, you asked how do you scrub tail?
Oh, yes. Is that possible? How do you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, well, you get the seeds. It's like broccoli sprouts. You get the little seeds. And you can get little sprouting kale seeds. If you go online to any of the sprouting places, the specialty sprouting places. Yeah, they're super
interesting. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I've never heard of that. Yeah. Okay. And can you just remind me, if we're taking vitamin B and vitamin C, are we supposed to not take them at the same time?
Vitamin C and D, can you take them at the same time? Yeah.
No, vitamin B and vitamin C.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not.
Okay, that's probably just some old information that I've picked up somewhere that might not be right. Okay. Yeah. I have a very basic question, and forgive me if it's a bit obvious, the answer. If we're offering this as a practitioner, I'm not quite sure what I would say to my client. Like, why would they come to me rather than signing up for the B4 program with you? Because it's such a great program, the B4. Can you say anything?
Well, they could do both. That one of the things they could do is they could do both. They could, because some people need that personal one-on-one attention, and there's a number of people who signed up for the B4 program with me, but signed up for the private coaching on top of the B4 Be Gone program. So you can be doing that. You might even be referring people. You can sign up as an affiliate, sign them up. You'd get a commission on their B4 Be Gone thing, but you do all the private coaching with them, right? And then one of the other things I want to talk about with you guys, I haven't formulated it yet, but one idea I had was to create a process where once I get, you know, I feel confident that you guys are up to speed to do it, that you could offer the B4 Be Gone program, like the website, without the calls, and you do the calls with people. So you'd already have the materials done, so you wouldn't have to spend the thousands of hours of development, and then you could offer you as the coach, right? So there's a number of options that we have going forward. Those, you know, it'll probably be several months before we figure that one out, because we have to find out how all that works with licensing materials and all that. But as far as that's concerned, yeah, a lot of people need the one-on-one with it. So you could offer them, why don't you sign up for this program and I will coach you through it? Or I'll coach you through it, and that you might get started with them and say, wow, there's a lot of stuff they really need to know. Maybe I can get them to sign up for the B4 Be Gone program. The other option you can have, too, is we could work out an arrangement where you include the cost of the B4 Be Gone program in their package. So say they pay you some amount of money to coach them for 3 months. And you have an arrangement with me to be able to get the B4 Be Gone for your clients at a discount, and then they would go through that, but you'd guide them through. So lots of options for it.
Okay. So then the thing would be that, I mean, obviously they could have asked for coaching with you, but the thing for me doing it here would be that I'd be actually seeing them, so they'd have a real person in front of them.
Right, right. And I'm not going to have availability for very many people in that anymore. I may not offer the VIP version of that anymore, just because I've got a lot on my plate, and I always take on.
I don't know how you manage it all, anyhow.
So there you go. If I'm not doing it, if I'm not doing the one-on-one with people, and some people need it, you'll be there, and any of you that are trained to do that would be there to do that as well.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Are there any options? Excuse me. Go ahead, Byron.
You've mentioned sometimes like a one-year training. Can you say any more about that?
Yeah, I'm going to be announcing it probably within the next few weeks. I'm still working on the details. It keeps getting tabled because everything else takes my time, but I've got it laid out. We're going to basically be There'll be a month of assessments, like how do you read their labs and what labs, how do you tell them what labs to go to, how do you tell nutritional deficiencies from labs, and then so that big assessment, how do you actually go through the assessment with people? You know, what kind of questions should you be asking, what kind of exam things if you see them in person, if you're allowed to do exam things, but you can also do self-exam forms as well. I have those all made up. So we'll have assessment, we'll have a module on the adrenals, we'll have the module on the thyroid, we'll have a module on digestion, we'll have a module on liver and detoxification, we'll have a module on creating group programs as well, and if you want to take some stuff and do it online, we'll have a whole module on doing that, and I probably missed some modules, but we'll have that out. I haven't decided for sure whether I'm just going to offer it as a big package with everything, or if people could just take individual modules. I'm kind of leaning towards the individual modules, and then you'll have a price break if you get all of the modules, and you'll be able to get certified if you want, or do an internship with me if you go through all of them. So, for example, with the Before Be Gone program, if I have you guys trained to be able to do this, then I could offer an upgrade package to people and say, well, you know, you can get your own private coach that will answer your questions online and, you know, two calls with that person. And you guys could do that as part of your training to learn how to do that. And so then you could go out there and do it. And we'll have that for all the different pieces. So in the meantime, I'm going to have a year-long client module pieces. We're taking people through. Balance your adrenals. Balance your thyroid. Do detoxification. And it will be a 9-month, I think, is going to be for the client piece, end of it. And then you guys can be trained. If anybody that signs up for the year-long coaches training will get that piece included. So you'll be able to go through that module and learn how to teach pieces of that module. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. So with the internship, if you do that, can that be done long distance, or is that just for America?
No. It can be done long distance. There's no reason why you can't be assigned somebody in California. The big issue would be working out the logistics of timing, so we'd probably try to, you know, give people as close to the time zone as they can. But otherwise, it's pretty easy to work it out. You can work it out with evening calls to people in the States, and evening is your day and all that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you be doing anything, a call or anything more on Candida by any chance? I know people always have questions about that, like it's a common thing for clients to ask about.
We'll probably have one of those as part of the full training, that whole gut piece. And then you're in the Green Cleanse, and next Thursday, Wednesday, one of the days next week is the Eat Green, Be Lean monthly calls, and that one's going to be on leaky gut and Candida.
Okay. And low hydrochloric acids, I'm really interested in that. And I think that's what brought me to green smoothies. And I would imagine that there'll be other people, like people might come to me and ask about that, because it's in Victoria Batenko's book and that information that's widely available. And I'd really love to know more about that.
Yep. And we'll be doing that in the digestive piece as well. The digestive piece will probably be a much longer piece than any other, because there's issues that you want to deal with each piece as you go through, right? So it'll probably be a little bit longer than some of the other modules. But, yeah, we'll definitely cover that. And, absolutely. That piece will be the big piece.
Thank you. I have a couple of other short questions.
Sure.
I really like your disclaimer. Can we, is this somewhere that, I don't know actually where to get a disclaimer from, or, I mean, can we use yours, or can we write anything, or?
Yeah, you can write anything that copies that. You know, I took mine from someplace else and I modified it. You know, I saw somebody, I like that one, and I modified it. You know, make it sound like you and put your name in it. Yeah, you can use mine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I have one more question. I might be jumping ahead here with the before. When people start putting foods back in, is there an order? Like, for instance, are there like foods that are least likely for people to react with? Like maybe they would maybe put beetroot back in rather than putting fruit.
Yeah,
like all the broadcast
there's a document that talks about that, module, the last one, Stepping Into Your Future. We talked about it on the call. We talked about it on the call a little bit, and then there's a document that describes how to do that, and then there's a chart, and the chart has, it orders them that way. Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay, okay. Thank you, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Sure, sure, no problem. All right, who else?
Dr. Rita Marie, this is Sita. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Sita. Yes, I can.
Hi. I have a question about, do we need to be concerned with people that are on blood-thinning medication?
Good question. Good question. I have a pet peeve about that whole situation. Every time you learn an herb or a food and the contraindications, right, this is not good for people on blood sugar, blood thinning medication because it will thin their blood further. And my feeling is always, wouldn't we want to just decrease their dose of blood thinning? I personally can't do it because it's not in my scope of practice and yours either, but wouldn't you want to be working with somebody who you could say, the doctor should say, look, if you're going to be eating, I'd like you to eat all these green vegetables, but it's going to decrease your need for the blood thinners. And let's lower the blood thinners. That would be my take on it. And we can't get into that messy role, though. You know what I mean? We have to find out. That's why you do a history. And if somebody is on blood thinners, you have to warn them about that and see if you can get cooperation with their doctor, who's probably...
They would ask for a bleeding time.
What's that?
They would ask the doctor to run a bleeding time.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in other words, they're checking their length of time for clotting.
The prothrombin time?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they would have to be, but you'd have to be working with somebody who has a doctor who's going, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. It would be great if you could take less of those medications because those medications are really horrible in terms of side effects, et cetera. So you want to be on as little as possible, but you're treading on thin. You have to tread really carefully with that, and make sure you can work in cooperation. It'd be nice if you could create a relationship with a medical doctor who is willing to do that so that you can then refer people to that medical doctor.
Okay. I actually was also wondering about when they pick their finger all the time. Is that going to have an influence?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's for hemophiliacs, but if they're on blood-thinning medication and they're on the right amount of blood-thinning medication, then, they should definitely not have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're on too much, then they're going to be bleeding. Then you got to be able to say, well, if they're pricking their finger and it's still bleeding 3 minutes later, that they're on too much medication.
Okay.
This will definitely thin your blood. The whole program will. That's one of the things it's geared towards because you get that thickening and stiffening of the blood cells from the insulin resistance.
Right,
so,
that sugar.
And all that sugar that's coating on your cells. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So it's
powerful stuff.
My doctor
yesterday when he inspected my wrist said, why are you, he goes, what are you drinking? He says, why are you bleeding like this? He said, why, when he went to inject both of my wrists, he's like, why are we seeing all this blood? What's going on?
And you don't want it to get too much either, right? You would never do this with a hemophiliac.
No.
So just done. If somebody says on their history they have hemophilia, you're not going to recommend blood glucose testing. Because that's a disorder of the blood where they can't clot. They could poke their finger and end up in the emergency room for bleeding out.
And normally people that have that will know and let you know, hopefully.
Yeah, and you ask, right?
You
make sure you put that on your forms and you ask, what medications are you on? Are you sure you're not on any other medications? Are you on blood thinners? So you can ask point blank or you can ask the question, what medications and what medications have you been on in the past? That way you know. It's really important. I have a very detailed health history that I have them check. Any conditions that they have had in the past or that family members have had. So you have a sense of that. Yeah?
Okay.
I was just going to ask, will you be sharing that form with
You've seen it because you filled out my forms. I could certainly share, put a link up to the form that I use. It's just a family history. It's not much different. I'm sure Beverly has seen a gazillion of them in her PA training.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd be happy to share it with you. It's just a simple form, and it's online, and they just go in and check the boxes. Have you ever, or a family member, had any of these conditions? Yeah. And if you go online and you just type in medical history form, you'll find links to tons of them online as well.
It's just that you've tailored yours, you know, to the program.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I'm thinking, I don't think I have hemophilia on there, and I'm going to have to add it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one to ask about. It's rare, but it is. If it's there, you really do need to know.
And you can also, you ask about clotting disorders, even if you don't necessarily have to just say hemophilia. You can say clotting disorders.
Did I write that? Do I have that on there? Do you remember?
No, I can't recall.
I don't remember if I do. Yeah. So, we'll update it. So it's a constant process. You know, you learn new things, and you incorporate it into your forms, and you incorporate it into your protocol. This is not, if you're looking for something that is just a, you know, formulaic process that you just do the same thing for everybody, then nutrition is not the place for you.
Dr. Rita Marie, I have to sign off. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay, bye. Aloha to everybody.
Aloha. I'm going to come visit you in Hawaii sometime.
Hello.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, that would be fun.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Zita, for asking about phytoplankton.
You're welcome. And Dr. Rita Marie, we can go have a vacation at the beach.
Yeah, go to the beach. I love it.
That's right.
Great.
Okay. Is it Hawaii where you live?
I'm on the Big Island.
On the Big Island. Which side?
Kona.
Kona.
Halua Kona.
Sunshine side, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, the sunny side, but it's not so sunny today.
Really?
No, it wasn't the last few days, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah, because that's rare, right?
Yes.
Zita, this
okay.
is Beverly. I'll be there soon. Please keep me a space open somewhere.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Anyone else have any questions? If you're not open, if you speak and I don't hear you, then just open your line up. I'm not sure if I think Beatrice has her hand up again. Beatrice?
Yeah. Okay, Doctor, can you hear me, Dr. Rita Marie?
I can, yeah.
Okay, Dr. Rita Marie, you are known all over the world, except in Latin America. Have you ever thought about translating everything so you can access people in Latin America?
You know, I've had some people approach me and say that would be a good idea. And, you know, it's like there's who said that the 24-hour day?
That's
so
right.
I need to be expanding team and doing that, and there's other things that have a little bit higher of a priority. But maybe someday I would, and if somebody comes along and says, hey, I love your stuff, and I'd love to translate it into Spanish for you. And
I would like to translate it into Spanish for you.
Would you?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That would be awesome.
Spanish, I'm not going to go into everything right now, but I thought about doing it from the very beginning, because I said this would be so good. So good.
Well, yeah. It would be awesome.
Certainly for the Hispanic populations in the U.S. as well. In fact, there's a health coaching classmate of mine who's going to be joining this program in the next couple of days, who is bilingual and will be serving the Hispanic community in the Mesa, Arizona area,
right,
and is asking the same thing, and maybe can team up with Beatrice.
You know, I find that when you talk to people in their language, even if they live in the United States and they speak perfect English, when you talk about something as emotional as food in their language, they may be a little bit more open to it.
Yeah. Yes.
Plus, you can give them the correct names of the fruits and the vegetables, and that makes it easier for them.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I think it really does need to be translated by someone who is fluent in both languages, not who somebody who knows it a little bit, because you can always tell if you ever get those instruction sheets, the people, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's been translated from Japanese, and it's like, okay, we don't really speak like that, but...
See, Dr. Rita Marie, I lived in Texas for 30 years, and let me tell you, Spanish they speak in Texas is not Spanish from Mexico. It's really something else. Like you say, from Japanese, it's basically the same thing. And I studied Spanish literature in a university in Mexico City, and when I would read it, it's something happens to your brain when you know something is incorrect.
Yeah.
Sort of like nails coming down the blackboard.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I was saying, if you need a translation, I would love to do it, because I am not only bilingual, but bicultural, and there's a big difference there.
Right. Well, maybe we should speak offline, and maybe we can work something out with that.
I would really like to, so we'll speak later.
Okay, very good. Yes, let's do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Darlene, I think you have your hand up again, and Beverly does too, so I think you're open. Your mic is open, Darlene.
I think that well, I raised my hand from earlier, and we did talk, so.
Okay, good, great. How about Beverly?
I have a question about sleep and morning waking. I've got a very active kitty who insists on sleeping with me, and he, especially this time of the year, he wakes, I think, even before the birds, and he likes to come up on me and what we laugh and call make biscuits. He like have you ever watched Kittens Need on the Mama?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, meow, 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 and he won't, and when you try to push him away, he gets mad and he gets louder. And if that happens, I mean, he finally settles down after about 5 or 10 minutes of this nonsense, but that at that point, you're awake. I mean, I'm just wondering, like, if you hear a noise or you have to get up and the sun is maybe up, or, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how to tell if you're
right. It's pet behavior modification. I have to tell you, Bev.
Yeah.
I had a cat that would do the same thing, and what I had to do is enclose him in a small bathroom at night. I put a pet bed in there, and we just got into the routine. He would go in there at night and sleep in his bed, and it got to the point where he would voluntarily go into the bathroom, get all settled in his comfy little bed at the appointed hour before bedtime, and then I would close the door. He'd have his water, kitty pan, everything he needed in there, and then I'd let him out in the morning.
Yeah. And it probably gets to the point where you don't even have to close the door because they learn that's the behavior.
Right.
The problem was our
kitty cat's a little older, and he was apparently kept in closed. He was traumatized by someone who did that in a wrong way, and that's a really big issue for him, and it's very traumatic, and he panics. And we've gotten used to him going and sleeping in other areas, and you'll think he's all settled, and then he kind of knows that the time of night, Larry and I will be settled, and it's time for him to come in and lay down and go to bed, and he'll be great. And I talked to him, he listens when I talk to him, and told him the night before last to be quiet, and this morning he was very good. But I'm just wondering, if you wake up or you hear a noise, trash truck, birds, you know, whatever wakes you, and the sun has just started to come up, or the sun is all the way up, and you haven't had the amount of sleep that you need, at that point, is it good to just try to go back to sleep, or
no,
should you
I
say,
wouldn't
okay.
try to go back to sleep, because I don't think you're going to get a good full sleep cycle after that. If you know that you can actually get quiet enough and get a full sleep cycle, like an hour and a half, hour and 45, well, it'll take you an extra 15 minutes to fall asleep, so you have to count that in. So if
I'm back to sleep instantly.
Okay,
I fall asleep.
So if you know that you can get an hour and a half, I would go through the sleep cycle exercise in that module, in module 3, and really, really try to figure it out and then back up from there. So if you know the cat always comes in at whatever it is, 5:30 in the morning, time it so that's the end of one of your sleep cycles. And that way, it's no big deal.
And then
you wake up, you deal with it, and then you go back to sleep.
You have a kitty alarm clock.
yeah, your kitty alarm clock.
You know, if you have a sleep partner, have them wake up with a cat. That's what I do. My husband gets up with a cat, and I stay asleep.
He doesn't hear it.
The cat bothers him, not me, because the cat Shimpa knows I will not get up.
Well, I'm so exhausted that I don't wake up. Yeah. I mean, enough to I'm not alert enough to open my eyes and even see what time it is. But I'll just because my eyes usually hurt when I first wake up. So I'll be like, what? I can't even comprehend opening my eyes to check the time. So I try to push him away and try to get him to just settle down, and then I can fall back to sleep.
No cats. Cats have a mind of their own.
Again, if you have an hour and a half, if you know you can sleep a full sleep cycle, do it.
Okay, if my sleep cycle is an hour and a half.
If your sleep cycle. So do the thing and figure out your sleep cycle. And, you know if you have 2 hours, it's probably going to cover your sleep cycle. So if you know that you could fall back to sleep and wake up at 2 hours, that would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
you just don't
want to
wake up in the middle of a sleep cycle because you wake up really groggy in the middle of a sleep cycle. I've had times where I have fallen asleep and at really ungodly, I won't even admit how late hour, and gotten woken up an hour and a half, 4:30 a.m., and had to get up to catch a flight or something. But it was timed perfectly so that when I woke up, it was right at the end of a sleep cycle, and I felt great. I've had other times where I've gone to bed at midnight or 11 and gotten woken up abruptly in the middle of a sleep cycle after 8 or 9 hours. And felt like really groggy because it was right in the middle of the sleep cycle. Yep. So that sleep cycle stuff really helps. And when you get really good at it, when you get efficient at it, then you can even start to decrease the number of sleep cycles you need.
What? Decrease?
Decrease them. Because what we need is a certain amount of deep sleep.
Right.
That REM sleep and deep sleep.
Right.
The
not
light
quality.
Sleep is not. That the other light stuff is not quality, but the problem is the light stuff is at the beginning. So if you are woken up in the middle of your sleep cycle, you miss that. You miss the deep stuff. You miss the good stuff. But if you can get 3 or 4 solid sleep cycles in there, you're going to be really well rested.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's playing with it. Like everything else, it's like you're working with the timing of your meals. You work with the timing of your sleep cycle. Cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I have another question about I forgot where I wrote it. I wrote it down. That's not it. I don't know.
Huh.
Sorry.
Well, if you find it, you'll think about it. You'll ask.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I think I've got everybody's line open. So if you have anything to ask, just ask. And
yes, Dr. Rita Marie. This is Yvette.
Hi.
Yes, I'm wondering about a form for a coaching agreement.
Form for a coaching agreement. I have one. I'm still working on it, and I offer that when people sign up for. I didn't do that with the Before Be Gone program. I usually do it for more long-term coaching programs. And again, it was something that I modeled after others that I'd seen, and put it together. I'm not completely happy with it at this point. It probably needs some work, and I am going to be working on it over the next. Hopefully by the time Before Be Gone starts on call on Tuesday, because I wanted to present the new coaching program to everyone. So it probably will be set up there. But yeah, once you get my coaching package for that, you'll be able to look at that. It's important to put stuff in so people are clear, especially if you do payment plans, and you know that they're making a commitment and that, you know, they're making a commitment to be with the calls. And if they're not there, of course, you know, I tend to be really flexible, but when there's good reason. But if somebody I find is just really abusing the relationship and showing up late for calls and expecting their call to be the full, if I've got a busy schedule and somebody shows up a half an hour, 15 minutes late for a call, I don't have the luxury of extending it. And I feel bad about that. But on the other hand, if that just happens once or twice, I want to give it to people. But, you know, if that happens consistently, no. So you really want to clear those things up, and you want to make sure that you're working with people who are really serious and taking you seriously. And it's good things to know and what they expect, and saying in the coaching agreement that this is coaching. This is education. I'm not diagnosing. It's not a substitute for medical care. So it is important to have that, and you definitely will get a copy of that. I'll make sure you all get a copy of that. Okay?
And
I'd like to get a copy of that, too.
You'll get a copy. It's going to be in my coaching package, and I'm going to put together a PDF file that has the various stuff. It's almost finished, but it'll have the coaching agreement in there, and you can definitely take a look at it. And you're welcome to sign it, too.
Well, I'm wondering if I might assist you with that, and the reason is I have been challenged by my mastermind group to have 3 clients by the end of April, and I need to report the status by next Tuesday. And so my question is there potentially something we could work out by that time? That would lessen your load, because I know you're maxed out.
What do you mean
that?
What could we work out? You mean in terms of the coaching agreement? Is that what you're supposed to have by then, or are you supposed to?
No, actually have 3 clients, even if it's nominal at this point. But to have 3 clients by next Tuesday or before.
Well, I mean, if you can put together a nice little invitation that you would offer a free consultation to people in the Before Be Gone program, and then when you meet with them, you can give them awesome advice like I know you can, and then you offer very inexpensive coaching, like, here, I'll coach you for 3, once a week for a month or something for this amount, so that people are bound to say yes because it's so reasonable, you will have that done. If you're looking to get your full price, what you're worth, what you will be charging by Tuesday, it's going to be really hard if you don't have leads on that right now.
Right. And no, it's more a matter of, at this point, actually getting the clients.
Yeah.
There's, as so far in my health coaching class, there's no one who has.
No one who has, yeah.
Other than immediate family members, and those don't count towards your certification. It can't be, family members. It has to be.
Well, if you want to offer a $10 coaching program to the members of this program, I'm sure there's value you can offer even the people in this program, right? There's some areas that somebody may need help with that you have.
Yeah, you know me.
For support and maintenance.
Okay, so you can offer them a 1-month program for $10. If you want, if you really want to do this by Tuesday, something really nominal that people who are, your friends and your colleagues will say, yeah, I'd pay her that. And maybe it's, let them pay, it's a sliding scale. You let them pay what they want to, and you can offer them, what can you offer them? You have to be able to be offering something to somebody. Remember, we talked last week about creating that program. What do I have to offer? I can offer you a 1-month program that involves, an evaluation of this. You'll get a diet plan. You'll get whatever it is you're going to offer. But you have to have an offering before you can get somebody to say yes. And that we got you really well started last week on that. So work with that. Come up with a program. Use that list of the program components and have something to offer. And offer it up on
If it were to be in conjunction with B4, though, it would make sense, obviously, that it's a B4 maintenance support coaching.
And that
would be fully, integrated with and to help assist continuing.
So the only way I could see that happening is if you put something together that's really good and it really sounds good and you have a really reasonable price, and I threw out $10 just because that was, an easy thing to say, because I'm sure you can get Beverly to say, okay, I'll do it for you so you can make your things, and maybe even Beatrice or, somebody that come up with $10 and say, okay, Yvette, coach me, give me some pointers on how I can do this better.
Thank you, Beverly.
Yeah. So you can certainly do that. If you want to, I would say you can write something up on the forum and say, this is what I'm doing, and I'll just write, yes, she's got my approval, she's been through my IRSBT program, she knows what she's doing, and that you could do that.
Dr. Rita Marie, I have an idea. Is it possible that we all could work with each other a little bit? Answering each other's questions, we could be our own clients, and then we could give like testimonials. So when people do,
Darlene, that is that's a tremendous idea. I love it.
Brilliant.
Would you be my client too?
I would love to.
Yeah, if you could. That's great because you all have different areas of expertise. And here's the deal. When Yvette is Darlene's client or Darlene is Yvette's client and you're asking her some questions, you're showing her your stuff because, you know what, it's hard to be your own doctor. So you show her your glucose stuff and she says, oh, but what about this? You're still doing this over here. How about if you switch that around? And you're going to – but maybe there's a question that comes up that you don't quite know the answer. I know Yvette is like – anytime somebody asks a question that comes up, she's out there researching and she'll find the answer even if she doesn't know it. So it'll be a great experience for you guys to do research to answer each other's questions. I think it's brilliant.
Right.
I think it's brilliant, yes.
I agree. It is.
A doctor who cares for himself has an idiot for a patient. That's what they say. I love that one.
In 20 years. No.
What?
I said, I beg your pardon, I've been my own doctor for 20 years.
You've never heard that?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And if I had anything really wrong with me, I would consult with a colleague. And I have. I've had colleagues adjust my neck. It's not true. I've had, you know. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, you know what? You're the exception to that, though.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not at all.
Well, I'm sorry. I disagree.
Because when you're doing with yourself, there's too much emotion there.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
That's why they don't like the family member thing, too.
And I will tell you, I am my own sort of doctor. Do you want to know how often I take my chromium?
No, what? How often?
A couple of times a week when I remember. Okay, I am my own worst doctor.
Yeah.
I could have had my insulin resistance completely reversed by now if I was consistent with this.
Well,
I keep forgetting
to buy it.
But if somebody was getting on the phone with me, if I was coaching with somebody and I was paying them and once a week I was getting on the phone and they say, did you take your chromium? I wouldn't want to keep admitting no. I would say, they'd say, look, you're wasting your money. Take your chromium. Okay? So we are our worst. And family members are terrible patients, too, because think you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, and then they'll come and say, oh, did you know that such and such and such and such? And I'll go, well, yeah, I've been telling you that for about 5 years now.
I know.
Really?
I know.
Really? I didn't know that.
When you said it, it didn't have any weight whatsoever. It's like, and I've been telling like some of my family, you know, things for 10, 20 years, and now it's just coming into the headlines. And I said,
Does
that all sound familiar?
You know, funny, my mother-in-law, who I told, she was switched off the butter onto margarine and because cholesterol problems. And I said, you shouldn't be doing that. Margarine is worse than butter. I prefer you give it up all together, but if you're not going to give it up, but just go back to the butter and get organic butter. And she's
totally.
Like, no. The doc, this said this, and the doctor said this, and I kept saying to her, you know, anything that I'm telling you is cutting edge, and it's going to be in the press. Well, a few years later, she's reading the newspaper, or one of her friends said, did you see that article in the Sun Times that said that you shouldn't be eating margarine and you should go back to butter? And my mother-in-law said, you'd be so proud of me. And I said, oh, my daughter-in-law's been telling me that for 3 years. Did she listen when I told her? No. When it was written in the Sun Times, she bragged about how I told her that 3 years ago. But then she finally started doing it.
I know. I get that Dr. Oz comparing. I'm like, oh, I heard this on Dr. Oz. And I said, well, does that all sound familiar? That didn't even spice. Like a reminder of something you've heard many, many, many times for years?
Yes. Dr. Oz put chia seed on the map. That's when people started hearing about it. I taught a class about 6 years ago. I taught people how to make chia seed crackers. And nobody had ever heard of chia seeds before, so they all went over to Whole Foods to try to buy chia seeds so they could make these crackers. And the people at Whole Foods said, what? What? And by the end of the day, they were like, you're the sixth person that came in here asking for chia seeds. We don't have no idea what these are. right? This was 6 years ago. Now everybody knows what chia seeds are. Right? People are trying to sell me bags of chia seeds for $60 a bag because it's in multi-level marketing and it's going to have these amazing results. And I say, I know. I've been doing it for years, and you know what? I pay $5 in bulk for chia seeds. And they're like, but these are different chia seeds. I said, really? I'd love to see your study. Show me. You're comparing a person that doesn't take your product to somebody who does. I know they're going to get tremendous benefit. But you show me how they're going to get better benefit from your product than the $5 chia seeds that I buy. To make it worth 20 times or 12 times more. So it's just, you know, everything that we're doing now, it will be more mainstream later. It really will. You're going to see doctors handing out blood glucose meters.
I bet you will.
I mean, yeah. I don't know of any other program where people are doing their own blood glucose measuring, except if they're diabetic and the, you know, the diabetes coach is teaching them how to test their blood sugar. But
no,
really,
brilliant.
This is cutting edge, and you guys can be teaching it to people, and you guys can be catching people that have insulin resistance that don't know it 10 years before it would have really become insulin resistant.
But you know,
or 20 years before it would have been diabetes.
Dr. Rita Maria, I have a friend who's diabetic, and her doctor told her just to check before meals and 2 hours afterwards and not to worry about anything else.
Yeah, I know. That's what they're teaching.
And this was a week ago.
this is what they're still teaching. They're still
What did she say?
You test your blood sugar before the meal and 2 hours after.
Oh, okay. I couldn't
That's
hear
it. Miss the spike, doesn't matter. And if, as long as it's under 140 at 2 hours, you're good to go. It's like,
wait a minute,
I want mine at 85 at 2 hours.
Really? Yeah.
I didn't understand why. Even after I explained, she kept saying, but the doctor said.
So
you tell her to do what the doctor says, that's all.
Yeah. Well, you'll have access to a lot of the studies you can send them to. Like even in our first call, the rounds one call, I showed you some studies that showed that every time your blood glucose goes above 120, you start to get retinal damage. And when it goes above 140, you start to get the peripheral neuropathy. So you can be creating the end results of diabetes, the worst case of diabetes, long before you're diabetic, when you're allowing your sugars to go up like that. Those things don't happen overnight just because you became diabetic and went on insulin and then suddenly a year later you have the retinopathies or the neuropathies. Those have been happening for 10 or 20 years. It's just gradually breaking it down.
So, Beatrice, your response now can be, but Dr. Rita Marie says, and here's why. And here are the references cited from the medical and nutritional research journals.
Right.
Yeah, so
you make copies
there.
Of some of those things.
And have them
to.
Ready.
Why do you think I give so much depth information, biochemistry, and the stuff? Because if I just say my opinion, it flies in the face of everybody else's opinion. They're not going to believe it. But when I prove it from the research, and then I have the clinical proof, they're going to listen, right?
Right.
They're going to listen.
And
some people will
never. And there are other doctors who back up what you have to say as well.
I'm not alone.
Dr. Mark Hyman, you know, the blood sugar solution. Maybe he doesn't on the timing of the meals, but on the other things he definitely does. And by the way, he's doing a seminar soon here. Metagenics.
Oh, through Metagenics.
A whole system approach for reversing the diabetes pandemic. Live broadcast May 20th, 2012, for anyone who's interested.
You probably could teach it, but with all you guys
probably,
have learned by now.
Probably so.
But we have to get out there. We have to get out there and do this, too.
Yeah.
You can
Rita Marie, are we going to have transcripts of all these calls? Or not?
I think we're having transcripts of these calls. I have to look to see what I promised you.
Okay. Dr. Reed, I'll tell you why I'm asking. I feel very insecure about all the chemicals and all the biochemistry we're talking about because I don't know that. I actually started nursing school and I left because of chemistry because I don't know chemistry. So I have to have everything in writing, and if I can read it, I feel fine.
Yeah.
But
Well, don't feel bad. Even with my background, a lot of it, there's, you know, it takes repetition. If you get away from it, I mean, I had great, you know, grades in school and my board testing, and if you don't use it all the time and reteach yourself this information, it gets fuzzy, and it's not, you know, but eventually when you've used it and taught it for long enough, like Rita Marie has, then it will
start to cement itself, but it takes a while before that happens.
It does. It does, and I still have to review stuff. When you, I'm going back and teaching a class again, I have to review my notes. I don't have it all, like, completely wired. Certain things that I've spoken about over and over and over again.
It's ad nauseum, yeah. You know?
But other stuff, you know, it just takes reading and repetition. So I agree with you. Yeah, the reason I hesitated.
Right about that, because the second time I went through the program, it was much easier than the first one.
Yeah.
But even though I still learned a lot that I had missed the first time. So
and when you're working with people one-on-one, you don't have to go into the depth like this. Because I've got a broad spectrum of people on this. I've got the real skeptics who have been, you know, reading everything about eating every 2 hours and are, you know, going to fight me on every corner that I need to be able to give that information to. And we got people at the other end that really just need, like, a lot of people, all they need is those five documents that are the summary of the sleep, the summary of the thing, and then you explain it to them. So you can have a whole program based on those five documents, and you're just explaining to the people piece by piece as they incorporate it.
Okay.
And you have the background and the understanding to know why and when they ask deeper questions and if they're ready for more, but you can have that as a basic program.
Thank you.
Yeah, really, we can all do it. I mean, when you're doing this to a couple hundred people, you have to cover all bases. I could keep this really superficial even at that level, but I don't appreciate that when I'm on a course like that.
Biochemistry, I certainly enjoy learning about it. It's fascinating. It really is.
It is.
So I'm gaining a lot from this.
Yeah, and it's the stimulus response kind of thing. Like, oh, if I do this, then this. Like you said the other day, I don't want to put that in my body anymore. Now I understand how it works. And, you know, people I've worked with, and, you know, I'll have them through 6 months of a group program, and they've lost all their weight, and they're feeling great, and they're like, you know, you ruined Cheetos for me. Now that I know what happens in my body when I eat one, there's no way I'm going to ever eat one again.
That's right.
And you know you're successful when that happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, just really go out there and do it at whatever level, you know, whatever level you feel confident. And, you know, Yvette, if you want to try coaching some people, I put it out there, and I will let them know it's not under my guise. It's you doing a coaching program with them. And mainly, I would narrow it down. I wouldn't just say a post. I would say, if you're having trouble with your, you know, really sticking with the diet and need motivation and need help, go for it. If you're having trouble putting the exercise piece in place, you know, you need help. But be specific about it, about what you're offering, how many sessions, and don't leave it open-ended, and keep it at a fair price. And you might get three people. Well, you've already got Beverly and Darlene saying yes, so you just need one more.
Who will say yes?
Beatrice says yes. Okay, so you have it. So go for that. Just go for that. But I would still challenge you. You guys, Beatrice, Darlene, and Beverly, don't sign on the dotted line and hand over the $10 until she shows you what you're signing up for. And Yvette, use the template I gave you last week. The name of the program, the number of hours, you know, the number of sessions, what's included. And you just make a real simple little program, and you offer it. Then you can show your instructor, here's my program, here's my three signed contracts. And if you want me to get you what I have so far, I can do that, and you'll just have to, you know, modify it and customize it before Tuesday.
Well, she's going to come up and visit with me, aren't you, Yvette? We can do this in person.
Yvette? There we go. Your mic got. Did you shut your mic off, Yvette?
Yvette,
can you hear me?
There you go.
Hello?
Now I can hear you. You disappeared.
Hi.
Yeah, you disappeared.
Oh, that's strange. I'm back. I'm back, and I'm just I'm so extraordinarily grateful and want to thank you all, and just to say to Beverly, that I really need to get this done now, this weekend. It must be done. Actually. Yeah.
Okay. So your task then,
Yvette,
you have to do is you have to take that template. You and Beverly did some brainstorming on the call the other day. You take that template, you fill it in, and then you just type it up in a form that says, here's the coaching program I'm offering. Here are the features.
Okay.
You've seen, maybe you haven't. I'll send you the packet that I have that's my old coaching program. But you can see how I lay it out. You can see the chart, how I lay it out. You can see the form at the end.
make one of your own and get a copy to Darlene, Beverly, and Beatrice. And anybody else?
Oh, that would be incredible, and I would love to get your feedback, you know, this weekend or before the weekend or, you know, sometime in the next couple
you
days.
You don't need their feedback.
I could write it by.
You don't need their feedback. You need their consent.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you need.
That's what you need. You need them to say yes.
Yes.
You need to send them your packet, and you need to say exactly the instructions, which are fill this out and send it back.
Okay.
Okay. And you'll have the price in there.
Great.
Okay?
Oh, thank you for the guidance on that, because that's exactly what needs to happen, and it needs to happen quickly. So,
you know what? Can you also help other people? Because I've got people knocking on my door, so to speak, to asking me to do, and I've, as you know, I'm so overloaded right now that I don't know where to. Hold on, there's somebody at the door.
Literally, as she speaks, there's somebody at the door.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be like 40 minutes, easily. Okay. I know my husband's not going to want to switch.
Oh, well, we're just talking about some of the exciting stuff we have available.
Okay.
I've been able to
I really got to go. This is really super important.
We'll come back later.
Okay, thanks. Sorry about that, guys.
That's quite all right. So the answer is yes, Beverly. I would be happy to share with you and collaborate.
Yeah, because what we may be able to do is swap. Like, I could do some stuff for you, you know, as we talked about before, and vice versa, and have kind of an agreement like that, and work it that, you know, I could do, as I was saying, like the supplements through my, with my practitioner discount, you know, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And we could, like, kind of sign each other up for, a type of program. I could help you. You could help me. That's just something I think, Rita Marie, didn't you even talk about something like this, how we could be each other's, like, coaches and clients, right?
Right. Well, Darlene brought that up today, as specifically as clients. And I was saying in calls, like, to have you one be the client, one be the coach, and do that. And, in fact, I think on the Q&A next time, we can open it up for Q&A, but I think we should devote, like, 45 minutes to breaking up into pairs and giving you the task of being, you know, doing an initial intake kind of thing, like really getting to know people and coaching them.
That would be really nice.
Would that be good? Because that way it'd be practical.
Right.
That
and it would
be great practice.
I was just going to say, that's the thing. It's like doing it over and over and becoming comfortable with that, because for a lot of us, that's the big thing. And I haven't been practicing for eons, and I really am excited about getting back into it, and yet I want to take it in a different direction. I don't want to just go in and take a quick five-minute history and hand over a prescription and an order for labs, you know.
I wonder, I don't know if this would be helpful. One of the thoughts I had was to take a case, a real case. I could take the names off and then give it to you. So as a group, like each group would get two cases, and I'd only have to come up with two cases, and one of you would be Mary, and the other one would be Beth, and you could interview each other as if this is the history.
That's a great idea.
That'd be great.
You always did that.
Great idea.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay. That shouldn't be hard to do. I just have to pull. I have to. I'll just ask one of my teammates or something.
And really, wouldn't that all be all you need to, Yvette, for this school that you're in? I mean, you can. You know, they don't. It's not up to them to decide what you've decided to charge or not. I mean, with all of the experience that we could you know do with each other, that you could work that into your client list, I guess.
Let me ask
Important thing is that I've designed a program which you've given us the outline for. So that's assignment number one, and then I have to have the necessary documents, the coaching agreement, the client intake form, assessment forms. Essentially, I have to have a client file, and I would have to submit this documentation to them and to prove that I worked
to have that
with
by
the client.
That you worked with these persons?
No. This is, the challenge is to actually have signed up three clients by the end of April.
So you have signed them up. So all you need, you don't even have to have the money transfer hands. You just need a coaching agreement. That's
That's correct.
That's
exactly.
You just create
that
the
is
program.
I need to create the program and have the coaching agreement signed.
Well, you've got the template for creating the program. I'm going to send you the template for doing the coaching agreement, and you've got it done.
Right, the first step. And then I've got to add
follow
to...
Through. Well, then you follow through, and you add the assessments, and you do all that piece of it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that would be great.
And you've been to my assessment. You have all my links to the forms that I've used. You can tailor your own based on what you like out of what I've done.
And actually, what they do require is that there's 4 contiguous months of coaching. Mm-hmm. So what would you recommend for...
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to have to figure out.
Okay.
We'll help you get started, and then you'll have to figure out
right.
where to go. Because not everybody will sign up for 4 contiguous months of coaching.
Right. Perhaps my classmates in this program would, but... You're right, for instance, potentially for the B4 support and maintenance, you're thinking something like a month initially, and then they can decide from there whether or not they want to continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that
perhaps
what you're...
Yeah, that puts a little bit, that puts a different bent on it. If it's 4 months
it
coaching,
does.
Then
right.
You, yeah.
That's the requirement for the certification. That we need to show we've had at least 10 clients each for at least 4 contiguous months.
So now it's 10 clients. I thought you said 3 clients.
I thought
that's
you did too.
This is my initial. That's my initial challenge. This is in the mastermind, the business building mastermind group.
Oh, okay.
Because what
so
we're
this
all
is
having
this
is this
half,
huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just because most of us, what we're this huge obstacle we have is getting our first clients. Most people are you know, they're only getting their immediate, you know, their warm market, you know, just their immediate, you know, family.
Right.
And or you know, friends or at least they'll count friends, but
do the first step, Yvette. If you don't have something to offer people, you can't offer them. So design a formal program. Write it out.
Right.
How many sessions you're going to have, how often you're going to see them, are they going to be able to email you in between, all those things on the form. You lay it out in terms of a four-month program. And I challenge all of you to come to the call on Thursday with a template for that, something.
Okay.
Will all of you take on that challenge?
So you're saying that you would like for us to write out kind of like what you're saying you're giving to Yvette?
No, take what I gave, take the template that I gave you last weekend, right?
Right.
And have it filled in. It doesn't have to be what you're actually going to do, but have some ideas filled in. The name of the program is this. It's 4 months long. It has this many coaching sessions. It has an initial intake. Like Bayari was getting really close to that on Saturday. You know, my first intake will probably be an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then I'll meet with them for 45 minutes, and maybe once a month I'll meet with them in person, and then twice a month I'll meet with them on the phone. And they'll, you know, she was laying all that out. Yeah, that's what you want to think about. I'm going to be doing a diet assessment appointment with them and really helping them. Maybe I'm going to do one coaching call on fitness and really take them through how to include a fitness program. I'm going to be doing one coaching call on the stress piece. You know, so you can just lay it out, be detailed.
You bet you and I could do that together. We didn't really get into that very much on Saturday. Dr. Reed, we were having technical difficulties, and we didn't really get to do much of that.
Well, do it. Set up a time.
Right. Yes, we needed to give you feedback on that. What was happening is we
told
were hearing
her.
You talk.
Yeah, we already heard that.
But you weren't hearing us. So we were hearing your discussions with other groups.
Right. I heard that.
Breakout groups,
So... Yeah, so, you know, Yvette and I could definitely be each other's client slash coaches.
And if any of you were working with someone on Saturday that you want to continue with, then put it out on the forum. Say, hey, I want to finish this exercise. And, in fact, I should put up a forum topic that says, you know, buddies for creating your program. Because I think this is really critical. And until you have something that you can offer, it may not be the be-all and the end-all and what you're going to do later. Unless you have something, you're not going to be able to offer anything.
But it's confidence building.
It's confidence, absolutely. And then you present it to somebody. So that's what we'll do on Thursday.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Very good.
You guys
like that.
Come up with your programs and then just present it.
Yeah.
You can present it in small groups, depending on the number we have on the call. You present it in small groups or you present it to the whole group. And we say, okay, how can we help Beatrice improve that? How can we help Biari improve that? How can we help Yvette make that better?
And
right?
me.
And Beverly. And Darlene.
Okay.
So depending on the number of people that come to the call, we'll either do it in pairs or triplets, or we'll do it as a big group.
I like the group idea, but
I like it too. But if there's 20 people, all 20 people or 23 people show up, it's going to be hard to do it as a group. And then we'll break down in triplets or something, or pairs. Okay, because it is good to get more than one feedback, so maybe we'll break up in quads even. And we'll, but if it's too many people, we won't be able to do it all. Okay? Does that sound good, guys?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Awesome.
Very good.
Great plan.
All right. Well, I'm going to call it a night. My kiddos are waiting downstairs. My son just got back from his ball game, which my older son took him to, and I missed. So I got to go find out how it was. And Dad's out of town, so I got to go spend some time with them.
Uh-oh. Single mommy tonight.
All this time with
Thank
okay.
you.
You're
thank
welcome,
you so
everyone. You're very
Bye.
Welcome. We'll talk to you
thank
later.
You for
Bye.
Thank you for your dedication to us, too. We're so grateful.
Shoot me a note to remind me, because I'm going to just turn this off. I'm going to go connect with my kids, and then I'll come back, and I want to make sure I remember. So just, connect, and I'll put up that document.
That would be great.
Okay.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night, everybody. Much
Good
love
night.
And blessings.
Bye.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
What time is it
That's
there?
Right.